Okay, we're picking up from Mem Amud Beis. We are three lines from the bottom. We're on the words Amar Rebbe Zera. So we discussed before bathing in hot water on Shabbos. The Gemara is going to discuss similar halachas with regards to swimming on Shabbos. So the Gemara now says, just to give, I guess, a hakdama for a second, though there's an iser to swim on Shabbos that's based on the Gemara in Beitza, which says that swimming, it's pretty famous, people know this, that swimming is usher on Shabbos or Yom Tov, lest you come to make for yourself a raft, a flotation device, which would be aser malacha mitzikun manek. You're fitting, making a utensil. Okay, so that's what the Gemara over there says is the iser. So the Gemara here is going to have that as the backdrop as one of the potential iserim. But the Gemara is going to mention another possibility of something that could be aser. The Gemara says, "Now Amar Bezira anachazis there be abau deshat ban bati aser bebau." He was floating literally in a bathtub on Shabbos. So the Gemara was assuming, I guess, that it had to be cold water, because we saw before hot springs, because we saw that hot water heated up on Shabbos, according to everyone, is usher. So now the Gemara is wondering, though, v'le'adana i'akar i'lo'akar. So Rabbi Zeir was saying that he saw Rabbi Abahu, and he was wondering if Rabbi Abahu lifted his feet off the ground and actually started like swimming or floating, or not. Did he stay on the ground? So the Gemara says, Pshit de lo'akar. The Gemara says, "What Rabbi Zera? What are you wondering about? Obviously, you're not allowed to start swimming in the bathtub here. Obviously, talking about a bigger one where you could move around." Desanya lo yishur adam bebreichum le'amayim. We learned in the Brisa that someone's not allowed to swim in a pool full of water. Vafilo medes pechatzer, even if it is in an enclosed yard. So then, if it's clearly usher, then there's no reason to assume that Rabbi Abahu would assume that Rabbi Zera should be confused why Rabbi Abahu may have gone swimming. So what is the issue? Where is the brisa coming from that would say that it's usher over here? So Rashi seems to say that the brisa is assuming there's an isser because, well, there's two real issues over here. The one issue is that if it's we're talking about an open nahar, when you have an open lake, the issue would be that you could splash the water from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabim, which would be the isser deraisa of carrying the water on Shabbos. That would be one issue. But the chiddush over here of the brisa is that even if that doesn't exist, again, we're talking about an enclosed yard, then it's going to still be usher. So the Gemara is going to wonder in a second why that should be. But the Gemara says, so the Gemara answers, lo kasha, there's no difficulty with Rabbi Zera. Ha, the ruling of the brisa, which says it's usher to swim in a pool, that's a pool, the leist le gedudi, which has no rims around it. It's not completely enclosed by walls or rims. However, ha, the iske gedudi, in a situation where it has these rims, then it might not be usher. What's the difference if there's gedudi or not? So Rashi tells us, because when it has gedudi, when it has these rims, then no, it's not going to be a concern that you're not going to make a raft because there's no issue of the Gemara and Beitza is not going to be applicable anymore because there are rims around it and it's clearly enclosed. And also if it's in a Rosh Hashanah, so it's also not a problem. So there is no issue. So therefore, Rabbi Abahu may have lifted his feet because there might not be an issue with swimming in an enclosed pool. That's what we see from the Gemara over here. One should not get too excited and think, oh, all of our pools are enclosed, so therefore we can swim on Shabbos Yom Tov. A, the Gzera of the Gemara in Beitza still says that it's usher to swim on Shabbos because of that, and we have a concept of Ein Beisin Echol Levata Beitin Kavero and Shelchan, that a later generation can't just say, oh, this doesn't apply anymore, I'm not going to do it anymore. We have a Gzera of Derabanan, and the famous Vilna Gaon says that there's like over 300 reasons for every Gzera of Chazal. They only told us one of them. So there's many reasons why, and the reason I think should be obvious to one, that that's clearly not something that's in the spirit of Shabbos and Yom Tov about swimming, but just to point that, there are other Isurim also that a person could be violating the Isur of Schita on your bathing suit that a person would be potentially dealing with over here, and also if the water was heated water. I mean, it doesn't matter if it was even Erev Shabbos or full Shabbos. Bathing is usher. Meaning, if you go your whole body in the water and it's a heated pool, then that would be 99% of the pools that you know about. 99, whatever. Most of the pools that you're going to go in are going to be heated. So that would be another issue of swimming on Shabbos. So just to point out that there is no heter for that, and that would be something that you see from this Gemara, though, the problem of swimming in an enclosed pool, though, should realize from this Gemara not necessarily be as much of an issue, but again, there are other issues with swimming on Shabbos. Now the Gemara just says, just an agav point, that once we mention something that Rabbi Zera was not sure what Rabbi Abahu's practice was, the Gemara says another thing about what Rabbi Zera was not sure about what Rabbi Abahu had done. The Gemara says the following, V'amar Rabbi Zera, Ana chazesa Rabbi Abahu, she'niach yadav k'neged penav shamata. I saw Rabbi Zera once that he was bathing in a river, and he placed his hands over his little panel shemata, of his euphemism, a nice lashon of over his private area in his front. So the Gemara says, I don't see if he touched it, his area, or he didn't touch it. So the Gemara says, what was he wondering if he touched it or not? It's obviously usher to not touch your private part down below. Pshita lo danagi, you're not allowed to do that. Why? Someone who's holding his male area when he's using the restroom, when he's urinating, it's as if he brings the flood into the world. The flood was destroyed. One of the Gemara brings down, one of the reasons, one of the reasons that the flood came and destroyed the world was that people are violating shchita zer levatala. Person, they quote from the pasuk, ki hishchis kol basar zar kol aretz, that's referring to hashchas zer, that the person was wasting his seed, wasting his zera, right? So that was coming out from the Isser of there. So then we're afraid if a person touches his part below, that would be an issue of potentially creating someone to have a hirurim, to have a thoughts, and that would lead him to have zera, to have his seed being wasted. So the Gemara says that you're not allowed to touch it. So the Gemara says, so Agav, that point is only if that point is only if a person is not married. If a person is married, it might be less of an issue. The Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch do quote that even for a married person, could die to be machmir if they can. Again, Shas HaTorach might be different. That would be the halacha over here. The Gemara says, though, Amar Abaya Asua Kibosheles. Rabbi Abba's case is treated like a group of soldiers, like a unit of soldiers who are coming into a city. This done, like we see from the case, when it comes to a group of soldiers who are invading a city, Balesh and Nichlas here, we're talking about non-Jewish ones over here. So they're coming to the city and they come into a Jew's home. B'shad Shalom, if it was peacetime, Chavios Pesuchos, Asuras, Tomas, Mataras. Then the open barrels of wine in the home are going to be usher. We're going to assume that they touch them. However, the sealed ones are going to be permitted. So this is the backdrop over here. The people are pretty aware of this halacha, that there's a iser for a person, there's a gezira in Chazal and the Gemara and Avodah Zarah discusses, that every wine that a non-Jew touches, we're afraid that he may have been menaseched, he may have made a libation to Avodah Zarah, and therefore there's an iser hanah for a Jew to drink that wine. So we assume any open bottle, it used to be the common practice that they would pour out part of it to a libation to their god. So any open bottle they could have done it with. You don't know what they did. So if it was closed, there's nothing to pour out. It's closed. So if it's sealed, then it would not be an issue. However, if it was open, that would be the problematic over here. So that's what the Mishnah is telling us, that if there are open barrels, it is going to be prohibited for one to use them. The closed ones are going to be permitted. However, b'shas mechama elav elav mataras. If it's wartime, even the open ones, the exposed bottles, are going to be mutter. Why the fish ain't p'nai l'nasech? Because the guy's busy fighting a war. He has no time to start doing avodah zara and making a libation in the middle of his war. So therefore, it's not going to be usher. So the Gemara says, Alma kevin debase l'manasech. We see though what was Rabbi Zera Safik and Rabbi Abba's Hanaga, that we see that when a person is scared and he's therefore distracted, so he's not going to be doing the Isra of doing the Isra of Avodah Zarah. So too, we're going to make the Tushta, we're going to make the comparison to say, Achanami, in our case, that was Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Zera Safik, Rabbi Abba, when he's bathing, came on the bus, lo, as to the rear. Maybe this person is very frightened, he's obviously very distracted, he's not thinking about improper thoughts. So therefore, Rabbi Zera entertained that maybe Rabbi Abba was touching that area below because he was very afraid when he was in the river. So the Gemara says, the Hacha, my Biusa, what at the end of the day was he scared of going in the water? So the Gemara says, Biusa, he wasn't such a good swimmer. He was in a very, we know in the mitzvah, the Gemara in Kiddushin says, Rabbi Yehuda, I think, in the Tana over there, says it's a mitzvah to teach your son how to swim. We see that as a danger. A lot of people didn't know how to swim. They'd go in the rivers all the time. People would drown a lot. So here too, so Rabbi Abba was afraid that when he was bathing, maybe he was afraid of drowning in the river. So the Gemara says that, that was a suffix. So maybe if a person's afraid, you don't have to be worried about touching the air below because it's not going to lead to your room because he has other things on his mind. He's very distracted. So the Gemara asks though, Eni, is that really true that he did this? Rabbi Abba said in the name of Rav, someone who places his hand over his lower area, his private part, is like he denied the bris of Avraham Avinu because you're ashamed of your bris milah over there. You're covering your bris milah, so that is a shameful thing. So the Gemara is saying that how could Rabbi Abba cover himself at all? So the Gemara answers, no, lo kasha, ha kinaches ha kiselech. That you're allowed to cover yourself when someone is going it's usher to cover yourself when your back is facing everyone else and you're going down. Why? Because no one can see you. They're all behind you, so they only see your back anyway. So why are you covering your frontal part? It seems like you're only embarrassed about this bris milah. However, when you come back up, kiselech, when you're coming back up from the river and you're facing the public, so then it's obviously not sanua for everyone to see your private exposed, so therefore you should cover yourself. So the Gemara is explaining that Rabbi Abba was probably coming up when he covered himself. So the Gemara now says, Kihadir Rav Shachin, now we see other Amoraim, Rava, would bend over when walking around from the river to conceal his private parts. Rabbi Zera, Zaki, Rabbi Zera would stand straight. No, he was Machmer, he was not that way. He would not to appear ashamed of the Bris Mila, so he would Dafka stand straight and not do this. Why did Rava have a different practice? Apparently Rava was afraid that maybe he would touching it, and then he was afraid of the Mishnah. So he was Choshish with other things. Rabbi Zera was not afraid of that, and therefore, he would cover himself. Rabbanan de Ravashi, Rabbanan in the academy, the base medrash of Ravashi, they said, Kinachti Zakve, when they were going down into the river, they would stand straight. Kiyavi Kasal Keshach, when they were coming up, they would bend over again, covering themselves. So again, they were Machmir, because they didn't want to touch themselves and touch that area below, because of the Mishnah. So now the Gemara says another incident with regards to bathing, not really related to this. And where Rabbi Zera, Rabbi Kavishavid, Rabbi Yehuda, the Baal Mesech, Arad Yisrael. The Gemara quotes a few places. Gemara Ksubis has this. Gemara Brachos had this also. So Rabbi Zera was avoiding meeting Rabbi Yehuda because he wanted to go up to Eretz Yisrael, and he knew that Rabbi Yehuda disagreed with him. Why? His Rabbi, Rabbi Yehuda said, "Rabbi Yehuda kolol bebavel Eretz Yisrael over be'aseish nemer bavel yavo v'shama yihiyu." And the Hemshech of the pasuk is very important. Rashi's Girsa has it. It's interesting why we don't have that. Ad Yom Pakti Nu Hashem, that you should stay in Bavel. So again, Rabbi Yehuda used to say, anyone who goes up to Israel violates a Misra, say, because the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu tells you that you should stay in Bavel, stay in Galus until I bring you up, and there, until you bring you up, Nu Hashem, Yom Pakti Hashem, Nu Hashem. So what did Rabbi Zera hold? Rashi points this out. Rabbi Zera hold that was only going on the Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash, that all the Kalim are going to remain in exile until the Beis HaMikdash is ready to be built. We're going to lose all of it. We're not going to have the Kalim. However, when the Beis HaMikdash is ready to be built, we'll have our Kalim. So Agav, there's a point that the Kesef Mishnah entertains that this would be a real Shaila. Again, most of the postkim do not assume that was applicable nowadays. I think this is one of the rayos. I think the Satmar Rebbe did hold that this was a problem. Again, whatever, people have their post-game, a person should ask them, with the Sefer Rebbe's Derech, okay, he was a big Talmud Chacham, he's entitled to his opinion. Again, other Gedolim, seems like most of the other Gedolim did not disagree with that opinion, but either way, that's what we see from here. But why did he avoid him? Because he didn't want him to tell him to stay. He held that you should be going up, and therefore to go to Eretz Yisrael, and therefore, he wanted to avoid him. But he still said, Amar, so he says, let me just see, Ezel Veshmel Minei Milsa, let me go see what my Rebbe's doing before I go, and I'll go up to Eretz Yisrael. Just one more, like, Maiserav, to see what my Rebbe's doing. So he's found him in the bathhouse, and he said to one of his gabbayim, Havili Neser, Havili Masrek, bring me my Neser, which is some soap, and bring me a comb. Neser is a lashon of the pasuk in Yirmiyahu over there. So the Gemara, Pischu v'maychav epikahavla, open your mouth, and you should inhale the steam. It's going to be healthy for you, because then you're going to schwitz, and when you sweat, it's going to be healthy. V'yashtu maya devebane, and you should also drink some water of the bathhouse. Rashi points out, lav dafka, think the water of the bathhouse, but any hot water would be fine. And the Gemara is going to say that this is healthy. Amar ilmale labasi lashmal devarzei. This is great. If I had just come to hear this amazing words of my Rebbe, I learned so much just from this. It would make me happy. So the Gemara says, what did he learn from it? Bishlama havi neser vili masrei kamash malan dvarm shulchamut adamar milashon kodesh. Now I understand the first statement when he said, "Bring me the soap and bring me the comb." So this is teaching us that you can say, like what we saw before in the last daf, that you're allowed to say things of chol, things that are not Torah, meaning secular things. You're allowed to see them even in Lashon Kodesh, even in the Hebrew. You're allowed to say them even in Hebrew in the bathhouse. However, and also I understand when he said to open your mouth so you're going to schwitz, like Shmuel, because Shmuel says that when you, yeah, literally, heat brings out more heat. That if you inhale the hot steam of the bath, that's going to help you and be healthy. Ela ishtu maya debebane. If you're telling to drink the water of the bathhouse, my little, so what's the benefit of drinking the water of the bathhouse? Tisanya, alcha velosha chilos adam. So the Gemara says that this is healthy, also based on the Braisa, that what if one is, we're going to quote a few different things of health related things that the Braisa is going to mention. That one, first thing is if one ate and didn't drink, his eating is like shedding your own blood. Very unhealthy. You should be drinking when you eat, after you eat. Not only that, you're going to get stomach ailments from that. If someone ate and didn't walk around a little bit after, then his food is going to rot inside of him. I think the modern science brings it also, that a person's supposed to walk around after he eats. Not only that, you're going to have bad breath. Someone who has to go to the bathroom and he eats anyway, that's like someone that's an oven that it's heated over its old ashes. Not good for you. And also the beginning of having rashes, you're going to have to sweat a lot. Constantly be sweating. It's not healthy. Someone bathed in hot water. He didn't drink hot water afterwards. That's comparable to an oven that was heated on the outside, but not on the inside. It's not beneficial. Just like Rashi points out, useless to have an oven that's heated only from the outside, not the inside. So too, this, it's not helpful when you go to the bath unless you drink hot water afterward. And that was the lesson that the Rav Yehuda was trying to bring out for us. This is why we brought out the Braisa. Rachas mechavim lanishtaf v'tzonen, someone bathed in hot water and didn't rinse himself out with cold water. Domele brazos nichzul or v'lech nusul atzonen. That's like someone who puts fire he puts iron and fire, but afterwards, he doesn't put any cold water on it to strengthen the fire, to strengthen the iron. So a person is supposed to put cold water after he takes the hot shower. Rachatz v'losach, if someone bathed that didn't put himself and anoint himself with oil, domel amayim agavi chavetz, this bathing is comparable to pouring water on the outside of a barrel, that the water, it doesn't go through, Rashi says. So we learn that it's not so helpful. Okay, but either way, we bring the proof from the Shita Rabbi Yehuda. So now the Gemara quote, now we're up to the next Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Mulyar. Mulyar is some sort of water vessel that it had different sections with coals and a section where they would heat up the water next to it. And so that's what Rashi says. Shosimenu b'Shabbos, you're allowed to drink from it on Shabbos. If you heated up that water, if the coals were removed, it's only retaining the heat and not increasing the heat, so therefore it is going to be mutter to drink the water on Shabbos. Even if you remove the coals of the antichi is also, we're going to see the Gemara is going to exactly what the antichi is. You're not allowed to drink from it on Shabbos. That's what comes out over here. There's a shiloh, you can look at the Tosvos, that deal with why isn't it an issue if you hold like Hananya, why would the second case be an issue? We're not talking about Atmano over here. So if it's something that's the water is not ready, well, how could it be that it's not mutter? So you could say that maybe for Hananya, just get through. Second answer is that potentially for Hananya, if you want to assume this mission as a libid of Hananya, that the water wasn't a third cooked yet or half cooked, whatever shita you're going to go with Rashi or the Rambam, it wasn't even the shita's Hananya. So the Gemara now says, Heichitami Mulyar Agarav. What's the case of this Mulyar that was cleared from its coals? So the Gemara says, Tanam Amifnim, Gechal Mechutz. It's Tanam, right? So that it's a type of vessel that has water on the inside and the coals on the outside. Again, it's two different types, there are two different areas of these coals, and they were removed, and that's what we're talking about. Antichi, when we're asked, what is Antichi? Rabba Omer Bei Kadira. It's some sort of, it has different compartments of Akira. It's like Akira with different compartments. So that is what we're discussing over here. The Antichi is similar to that. And Rab Nachman, it's a two-tiered pot. That's what Rabbi Abau held, that it has double walls where the coals are placed, and with the water, on top of that, they pour the faucet over that. That's what this antichi is. So Gemara says, Mandam, Rabbi Dude, Kol Shekhen Bekire. Someone who said that it's Isser for the Beidude, for the two-tiered pot, Kol Shekhen Bekire, then obviously it's going to be Usser to a compartment to Kiva, because that is even hotter. Mandam, Rabbi Kire, but someone, the one who said that we're talking about a Kiri, is talking about this compartments of the Kira, of a Beidude law, but when it comes to the Beidude, we do not extend this issue. Isser. So the Gemara says, Tanak of Asir, Rav Nachman, we have the Antichi is like the Shita of Rav Nachman, because the Mishnah, the Raisa says, Antichi Alf Mishnah Gruva Ktuma, Incho Sinamina. When it comes to an Antichi, even if it was shoveled, or you removed, covered the ashes, you still don't drink of it because its bottom heats it. Since the bottom is heating it, it's constantly being heated, and it is Asir. And we see from here that the Raisa that says Antichi is heated from the bottom, that's like Rav Nachman, that's it's this thing that has the heat from the bottom. The two-tier thing, the fear of Nachman, that's what comes out over here. So then the next Mishnah. So the Gemara now says, Hamecham Shepinua, if you have a hot water urn that was, you removed all the coals, you still shouldn't put cold water there that they're going to be heated and getting to the Yad Yad Saladis book, because that's cooking the new water. But you can put cold water into the hot water urn or into the cup of hot water to warm it up. So the Gemara now says, "Ma'ika Amar." What's the Mishnah saying over here when you say you can put it lahavshiran? Rashi says, and also pino. What does it mean that you emptied it? What exactly are you emptying? What's going on over here? Meaning, what do you mean clear the hot water on? So the Gemara now says, "Amar avada bar masna hachi kamar." This is what the Mishnah is asking. Hameicham shepina memenu mayim chayim leitin lucha mayim utin. That if you have the hot water on which you cleared out the hot water from, you still not to put a lot of small water of water because it's going to heat up and it's going to get bishal of the water. However, aval nosin lasocha mayim erubim kedei lavshiran. One is allowed to put a large quantity of cold water into the water in order to just, because the water is only going to be warming and it's not going to be bishul. You're not going to be heating it up. You're not going to be making it machabit. You're not going to be doing yatzeles, but you're not going to make it boiling water. You're not going to boil the water. So the Gemara says, wait a second. Even if you're not boiling the water though, the halo mitzarif, aren't you hardening the metal, aren't you hardening the metal? And that would be an iser of makib bepatzer. It's nothing to do with Bishl over here. That hardening metal is usr on Shabbos, and that is by pouring the cold water, that's going to harden the metal. I have to make it stronger, and that's the makib bepatzer, that's the finishing touch for the steel over here. So the Mara says, that could happen. However, Rabbi Shimon, we're following Shitas Rabbi Shimon. The Amar Davar Shimon Iskaven Mutar, the thing that we said many times, you have to really know this klal, the difference between Davar Shimon Iskaven, Lefi Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Meir, when something might happen. Sorry, Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Huda. So when something might happen, that is when Rabbi Shimon says that it's mutter. So over here, it's not necessarily going to be strengthening the, you're not necessarily going to be strengthening the and hardening the steel. So since it only might happen, Rabbi Shimon holds that it's mutter. So we're holding like Rabbi Shimon. It's not 100% that when you put in a lot of water, it's going to strengthen and harden that steel. So therefore, we don't necessarily hold that this would be usur. That's what comes out from over here. So the Gemara has a kasha. The Gemara says, maskif la baye. Baye has a kasha though. Abaye says, no, what do you mean? The Mishnah doesn't say that an urn which you, the water was empty, which would indicate to us that he was trying to fill this vessel with utter water and warm it up with that water. We're talking about, we use the lashon of, again, we say, mecham shepinu katani, that an urn was removed, which implies that the urn was removed from the fire, not that the water was emptied from it. So Abaye has a kasha on the lashon over here. El amar Abaye, so therefore Abaye comes to say, hachi kamar. This is what the Mishnah meant to say. Hamecham shepinuhu v'yesh b'mayim chamin. That if you have the hot water urn that was cleared from the fire, and it still has hot water, lo yitein l'chamayim v'atim v'shil shiyucham, you're not allowed to put a small amount of water in order to heat it, however, you're allowed to put a large quantity of cold water because it's only going to be warming it. It's not going to reach out to lettuce, but it's not going to be burning. And this implies, though, that if you have a hot water urn, which was hot and was the water was cleared, that Mishnah would be telling us that the Mishnah would be telling you, you're not allowed to add water into it at all, even a large quantity, which is going to be warmed, because you are doing the iser of makib patish, of finishing it and hardening of the metal. Rabbi Yehuda, and our Mishnah would be following Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, Davar Shem Niskaven Asr, that even though it might not happen, it's not 100%, however, Rabbi Yehuda holds Davar Shem Niskaven is Asr, and therefore Abaye is mukim the Mishnah like Rabbi Yehuda. So now the Gemara says, Amar Rav, lo shanu ela lahashir. So similar machlokas. Rav said that they taught that it's only allowed to add a large amount of cold water into a hot water urn only in order to warm the water. However, letzarif usher. But to harden the kettle is going to, the hot water urn is going to be usher. Based on this over here, it's going to be usher based on Shitas Rav Yehuda. Ushmul Amar Afilu Tzarif Tani Mutar. However, Shmuel holds that it's permitted even to harden the kettle because that's what we see Shmuel held before, like Shitas Rav Adar Bar Masna. That is what we said that he's like Rabbi Shimon. And the Gemara asks though, Letzarif Lechachila Mishari. But you're going to tell me that even Lechachila, even initially, according to Shmuel, it's going to be mutter to harden the hot water urn. Meaning, even Rabbi Shimon, who says that Davar Shem Miskaven is mutter, that's when your intent is for something else. Just the water should be heated again, not to Yatzalas, but the water's getting hotter, and then what comes out of there, Mamela, is it might happen that. The steel is going to be hardened. However, sure. So how could Shmuel say that this is even mutter, even according to everyone? So the Gemara says, Ella iyit marhachet mar. So if you say this to me, Rabbi Shmuel, this is machlokas. Amar Rav Loshanu Ella Shir LaHashir. That they thought that it's permitted to add cold water only the amount of water that is enough to be warmed, about the Shir Latarif Asr, but adding the amount that could be that going to be hardening the hot water urn, that is going to be the, again, the steel there, that's going to be usher. Shmuel Amar, Shir Letzarif, that either Shir Letzarif is mutter, going on to the next time now. That's permitted, because again, as long as your intent is not to harden the hot water urn. So the Gemara says, L'mimra de Shmuel, Rabbi Shimon Svirle, is this implying that Shmuel holds with the Shita of Rabbi Shimon, that Davar Sheinu Miskaven, that something that you're doing unintentionally is permitted? V'amar Shmuel, Mechabdin Gachela Shamatechas B'Shus Rabim. Someone is allowed to extinguish a piece of burning metal that is lying in the public domain because it's dangerous, B'Shus Shalayzak Rabim, because the public shouldn't get harmed by it. Avelo Gachela Shalayt, but should not be removing a piece of burning wood. What's the difference? That when the issue d'Araisa of extinguishing only applies to a piece of wood. Only Derabanan is, the Derabanan enactment is even extinguishing metal that's burning. So the Gemara says that Shmuel makes a chilek between burning wood and burning metal. So but if he holds like Rabbi Shimon, so shouldn't he allow you to remove the wood as well? So the Gemara now interlinks without telling you the prohibition of the sugya that we mentioned before. We mentioned this a few times already about malacha she'ina tricha lagufa, that when you have a labor that's not needed for its defined purpose, right? Over here in the situation, I don't want to put out the fire in order to use it for a productive purpose over here. I'm putting out the fire so that people shouldn't get harmed. We know that Rabbi Shimon holds that all malacha she'ina tricha lagufa is only an iser derabanan. However, Rabbi Yehuda holds that it's an iser deoraisa. So if Shmuel holds like Rabbi Shimon, the Gemara assumes to put them together. And if he holds like Rabbi Shimon when it comes to davar she'ina miskavin, when it comes to an unintentional act, he should also hold like Rabbi Shimon when it comes to malacha she'ina tricha lagufa, a labor that you don't need its defined purpose for, and that would be an only an iser derabanan. But if that's the case, then both of them should be an iser derabanan. Because over here, why am I putting out the wood chip over here? Why am I extinguishing it? Because I don't want people to get injured. Nothing to do with the fact that I want the malacha of extinguishing the wood chip. There's no iser deraisa according to Rabbi Shimon, only iser derabanan. So I should be allowed to do both. So the Gemara answers, "Bedavar shein miskaven sever la Rabbi Shimon." No, with regards to the halacha, with regards to something that you're doing without intention, that's unintentional, that Shmuel holds like Rabbi Shimon, and that is going to be permitted. However, malacha shein etzrich lagufa, you're right. When it comes to a labor, an action that's not needed for its defined purpose, there he holds like Rabbi Yehuda that such an issue is an iser daraisa, and there is a fundamental chiluk. It's understandable. When it comes to davar she'ina miskavin, I'm doing something, my intention is not at all that the prohibited act is going to happen. And not only that, it might not even happen. That's the first case. However, when it comes to the case of malacha she'ina tricha lagufa, I know very well that the forbidden act is happening. I know that its forbidden act is for sure happening. It's just that my intent is not at all to have this creative goal. I just want to get rid of the nuisance of ruining the fact for all the people who are sitting in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbin. That's when malacha she'ina tricha lagufa. But that you can understand why Shmuel make a chiluk and pass the Gemara and hold that would be an iser deraisa. So that is how we end up assuming Bishitas Shmuel. Okay, Adkan for today.